이름아. Tell him he's holy today.
Holy is the, holy is the Lord.
Bless your name today, Jesus.
Holy is the, holy is the Lord. Holy is the, holy.
Your name today. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you today, Lord. We've set aside this day to keep it holy to you. And we bless you. And the people of God say, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. We appreciate the praise and worship team, all the hard work. Been practicing, learning some new music. Gave you some today. They're going to do some more next week for Easter. And so we appreciate all their hard work coming early. They were here at 7:45 practicing this morning. Continue to practice. We appreciate all their hard work as they serve the Lord and serve us. At this time, we're going to dismiss all of our children. So all of our elementary age children that are here, ages 5 through 10, they're going to head out. Follow our elementary age direction. This first room to the left, parents. They'll be waiting for you there. Immediately following the service, be with our children's pastors. And today, how many know it's time to bless our children? Let's bless our children. Father, we bless our children. We speak blessing upon their life. Father, may they grow up to be children of destiny. We bring them to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Next week, we'll be kicking off a new series on Easter called Snapshots of the Savior. Snapshots of the Savior. We're going to be taking a look at Jesus' life and looking at just snapshots of his life and what he means to our life. It's going to be an empowering series. And I just challenge you, bring somebody with you next week as Easter's here. Listen, there's people all around the community who are wanting to go to church this Easter. There's people all around the community who are waiting. They're looking for a church to go to this Easter because maybe they don't go to church on a regular basis, or maybe they know that they need to get back in church. And so Easter seems to be a good time to for fresh starts for people who are not attending church anywhere or who are looking for a church to go to. And so I just encourage you, be sensitive this week to those people you work with, those people you run into the store, people who wait on you in the restaurants, your family members, neighbors, people who may want to go to church. Just take a second and invite them. Say, man, you're welcome to come this Easter. We have a special service going on here at 10:30 at Destiny Church. And so invite somebody. Bring them with you this week, okay? Because they are sensitive. Listen, they are sensitive to people's invitations. If they are looking to come to church, they are looking for someone to invite them. And you never know, your simple invitation may lead to somebody coming and accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior next week. And so how many will be praying for next week's service with me? Will you join me in prayer? How many tell me, Pastor, I'll fast at least one meal this week and pray. Will you do that? How many people join me? Say, I'll fast at least one meal this week and pray for this upcoming Easter service that people will accept you. People will come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Well, thank you today for that agreement with me in prayer. Well, today we're ending our series on learning to change. How many feel like God is speaking to you about change? Anybody here? All right, I guess I need to preach another 11 weeks on this, okay? How many, really, seriously, how many people know that God is speaking to us about changing? He's speaking to me. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching a series. That's right, I am, and he's preaching to me. He's speaking to me. And this, listen, God has called every one of us to change. He is not destined for any of us to stay the same, okay? Now, some of you may be stuck in the 70s. And you can, that's fine, because you know what? The 70s are coming back in style now, so you're in style, okay? Some of you have been wearing those same clothes so long, they're back in style again. That's all right. They're back in style. And you may be stuck in the 70s. Some of you may be stuck in the 80s with your big hair and all that. But one of the places we don't are not allowed to get stuck in is our Christian walk. God says he does not want us to stay the same. Don't be pointing fingers at nobody. Now look at yourself in the mirror, huh? But go through your closet.
Everyone looked at me.
That's right.
Okay. Pastor Gene, I have a microphone, but they all looked at me.
It's not as big as it was in the 80s, I can guarantee you that. It's a lot smaller now. It's small now.
Pastor Matt over here agreeing. That's right. That's right. I won't interrupt you no more. I'm sorry.
Can you mute her mic, please? The sound thing. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Just for the record, I was in diapers in the 70s, in case someone wanted to know that. Okay. All right. I didn't say how long in the 70s, but I officially made it, squeaked it in there. That's right. Listen, it's all right to be stuck in the 70s in your dress. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, you can do that. And sometimes we get stuck with the same thing. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we're not called to be stuck in a rut. God does not want us to be stuck and be at the same place. As we look back last Easter, can you ask yourself this question? Have I grown since last Easter? Have I grown in my walk with God? Have I improved in areas of my life? Have I become a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better employer, a better boss? What are the things I've improved in? Have I grown closer to God? Have I learned to spend more time with God this year? Have I learned to trust him more this year? Have I learned to give more to him this year? What are the things that you're trusting God for? Are you learning to grow in your life? Well, today we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to talk about a subject that's real dear to my heart. We're going to talk about changing the way we do family. Changing the way we do family. Look at your neighbor and say, we are family. Come on, look at your neighbor and look him in the eye and say, we are family. Some of you aren't doing it. Look at your neighbor. Look him in the eye and say, we are family. See, some of you are already ready for the 70s. You guys got it ready right there. Yeah.
Get up, everybody, and sing.
We're going to talk today about the family. How many know we're family here? That we are the body of Christ. And the Word of God talks about family. That we are all a part of the family. He talks about some of us are the head, some of us are the feet, some of us are the hands, some of the eyes, some of the nose. Some of us are the, well, we won't go there. Anyway, some of us are there. He says there's many parts to the body, but we're all one part of the body. We're all family. We make up the body as a whole. And some of you say, do I fit in this family? Yes, you do. You fit in this family. Well, I'm a little weird, Pastor. That's all right. I got a lot of weird people in my family, okay? You come to one of my family reunions, you're going to see a lot of weird people. You know what I'm talking about. You go to that family reunion, you got some weird people that you didn't even tell your spouse about until like 10 years later. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, you know. So it doesn't make a difference who you are today. You belong in a family. You're here today. But we're going to talk about only the family of God. We're going to talk about the family nucleus today and how can we change the way we do family. Listen, it's okay to change spiritually and to grow spiritually and to grow in your relationship with God. But if we're not changing the way we do a family, how many know it's not a very good testimony? Does it really mean a lot if we're not changing the way we actually operate in our everyday life? Let me say it again. Well, we can come to church and raise our hands and we can sing to the top of our voice and we can act our spiritual, hallelujah. But when we go home, if we don't treat our wife any different, have we really changed? Let me say it again. If we go home and we don't treat our husband any different, have we really changed? If we go home and we treat our children the same, have we really changed? So we're talking about changing the way we do family. We're going to talk about some elements of healthy families today. And when I talk about family, I refer to it in two ways. Number one, I refer to, of course, parent and parent relationships and children relationships and also spouse relationships today. I'm talking about that. And also today, if you say, well, I'm single, I don't have any children, I say, rejoice. Just rejoice. Enjoy the freedom that God's given you. You say, Pastor, does this message relate to me if I don't have kids or I'm not married? Yes, it does, because you are involved with family. You have siblings. You have parents. You have people that are close to you, the family here. You have people that you're teaching in classrooms. Some of you are educators, and you are educating in the school and in the public. You have nieces and nephews. And so we're learning how to deal with the children that God's put in our life. Some of you have children are in and out of your life, and you need some skills today. You need skills in learning how to relate to your family. And so we're going to talk about that today, this term family. We're going to talk about some elements. We're going to look at the word family and use that word family and break it down using the letters of family and give you some things to think about today. Number one, the first thing is F. Family stands for fun. Healthy families have fun. Healthy families have fun. Now, if you've ever been to my house, I would tell you this. We have a lot of fun at our house. We have a lot of fun at our house. And we believe in having fun because healthy families are having fun. Now, does that mean that dad, you get to go home today and put on a clown costume and a rubber nose and hide behind the door and come out, hey, kids, you know? Mom, you have to go home and be a stand-up comedian. We're not talking about trying to be something you're not, okay? But your home should be a home that is fun. Let me say it again. Your home should be a home that is fun. Should there be structure? Yes, there should be. Should there be order? Yes, there should be. Should there be love? Yes, there should be. Should there be discipline? Yes, there should be. But there should also be fun in your home. Our homes should be homes where kids have fun. Our families have fun. We have fun together. We need to have fun. Listen, teenagers, when they get together, they will go to the house of the parents whose home are the most fun. Now, if your kids are hanging out at somebody else's house, I guarantee you that home is a lot more fun than your home. Listen, our kids will want to be where there's fun. Our kids will want to be where the home is fun. And we got to learn what it means to have fun in our home. Some of you just need to loosen up. Pastor, I've got my structure and I've got everything in order. Open up your drawer and every sock is labeled and every underwear for the days of the week. And you got this, it's labeled and the house is immaculate. Those things are all good and I am for that. Okay? Amen. We're for order. We're for cleanliness. Okay? We're for neatness. But we're also for fun. Pastor, what do you mean? We're for fun. We should have fun in our homes. Listen, I have destined it. You know what? My kids are being raised in a Christian home, and the Christian home should be the most fun home there is. I don't want my kids to think that a non-Christian home is any more fun than the Christian home they live in. I don't want my kids to think that my home is no more fun than somebody else who does not know God, because there is a freedom and a joy that comes when you know the Lord. And we should have our homes be homes are fun. We should be modeling that to the world. Your kids, as friends, should look at you and say, you know what? Boy, I like hanging out at your house because your mom and dad, they have their home is fun. It's just a lot of fun. It's relaxed there. They make us feel welcome. When we come over, your mom's always getting out the snacks for us. They let us watch movies, and they're making a place of fun for us. We have fun. It shouldn't be a boring place. Our home should not be a boring place. Look what John 10:10 says this. A thief is only there to steal, to kill, and destroy. Look what God said here. Jesus said, I came that so they can have what? Real. Everybody say real. I came that they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they could ever dreamed of. Listen, God wants our homes to be places of real, where they're real. Our life is called to be real people. We're not called to be so spiritual that we are now heavenly good. No earthly good. You know what I'm saying? So heavenly minded, there's no earthly good. We should be real people. And we should have just be so transparent in our life that we're real with our children. We relax with our children. And we should be able to talk about problems that are going on in our home and openly talk about our children, what they're going through, and be able to say, you know what? We can have a good time. We can laugh. Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is good like a medicine. It's good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Wow. You mean you have this power in your home? Listen, I have the power to be a cheerful heart to my children, my spouse, and give them a godly medicine that brings joy to their life, or I can crush your spirit like dry bones. Which one do you want to do? Which one do you want to have as a model for your home? I'll take the crushed bones. No, you don't. We want our homes to be full of joy and life. We should be fun. And it takes work. But healthy families make time for fun. Fun doesn't just happen automatically. Most of the time, fun doesn't just happen automatically. Sometimes it's spontaneous, but it doesn't always happen automatically. Listen, you got to plan out your time. With your spouse, you got to have time. Listen, if you don't have a regular date time with your spouse, shame on you. You're not doing what you should do. You should learn to say, you know what, we're going to have a date time, whether it be once a week or at least start off once a month somewhere. We're putting on a calendar, we're planning that we're going to go out as a couple, and we're going to go out on a date, and we're just going to go out with us, and we're going to enjoy each other. And it's okay. Plan those times of fun. If you don't plan, they're not going to happen. And next thing you know, 6 months, a year has gone by, and you're like, man, we're growing apart, and where's the joy in our marriage? What do you got to look forward to? You're not planning any fun. You're not planning any spontaneity in your marriage, and you're expecting everything to stay the same. Listen, plan your fun. Plan your fun with your children. Friday night's my family night, and we do something as a family. Most of the time, if our schedule allows, we always plan to go out and to have fun as a family, whether it's going out and seeing a movie or out to eat, doing something. We go out together as a family. We have a good time. And then my wife and I, we also get away. We try to do it once a week. We try to go out one night a week, put the kids to bed, and we head out, man. We go out on a late night, and we have a good time together. We talk about things, and we do things, and we get to know each other better, and we talk about things, and we laugh, and we just laugh. We do a lot of laughing, and it's important to get together and keep those times, but you got to plan it, because if you don't plan it, it will not happen. And it starts off like this, you know, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't care what you want to do. I don't care whatever you want to do. I'll do. Okay, let's go eat. Where you want to eat at? I don't care where you want to eat at. I don't care wherever you want to eat at. I'll eat at. I mean, our lives are so full of joy, aren't they? What are we teaching our children? Where you want to go? I don't care. Just go the rest of your life without a plan. This is fun, kids. You can't wait to get married. Woo! Be like mom and dad here. Take some planning. Get a little spontaneous. Do something. Husbands, send your wife some flowers and send a note. Hey, send a note. We'll call her up and give her a card and say, listen, let's go out tonight. This Friday night, we got a date. This Tuesday night, we got a date. Call her up and ask her out like you used to before you got married. Okay? Listen, keep it real. Have fun. Listen, time is the most precious thing you can give your children. Do you know that? Most precious thing you can give your spouse is your time. And so when you take time to plan to have fun with them, you're showing them such great appreciation. You're showing them so much value that they, listen, my dad took time to be with me. My mom took time to be with me. My spouse took time to be with me. It's a valuable thing that says I love you. We got to teach our kids how to have fun. Let me give you some ideas on this, how to implement some of these things. Number one, first of all, slow down. Slow down. Slow down your life. If you want to have fun, fun is usually the first thing that goes out in a busy schedule. Do you know that? And listen, we're all busy. All of our schedules are busy, and they're not slowing down. And so you've got to learn, first of all, to slow yourself down and say, you know what? First things first. First things first. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to plan some time with my family. With my spouse. Second thing, schedule some playtime. Schedule it. Listen, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. Put it in your BlackBerry. Put it in your Palm Pilot. Write it on your calendar. Write your post-it note. Friday night, we're going out. Tuesday night, whatever it is you plan, plan that day and stick to it and say, we're going out. This is the night. I don't care who calls. I don't care who wants me to do what. I am going to keep this date with my wife. I'm going to keep this date with my spouse. I'm going to spend this time with my children. Plan it out. Number three, be thinking. Is there a fun way to do this? Take normal, everyday things and think, how can I make this fun? How can I make the things we do around the house? How can I make it fun and not such a burden and chore? Liven things up. Don't do things the way you used to do it. Get a little crazy. Take some candles with you to McDonald's and pull them out and line them on the table. I don't care what you do. Get a little crazy, spontaneous. I remember one time, a couple years ago, I picked my kids up from school, and I was taking my school, and we got ready like a normal day for school, and we got in the car, and I went the same way they were going to school. And when I got to the school, instead of stopping, I kept going. And I looked at him and said, "Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "School? Oh, yeah, you got school, don't you?" "Yes, you just passed. I'm going to be late, Dad. If I'm late, tardy, you know what happens? I can't be tardy. Oh, you know, but worried about being late." And you know what? I have good kids, and they make good grades, and they never miss school. And so I planned this one day. I just kept on going. And we went by the school. I said, "Which wave is your school?" I told them, "This wave is your school." And they waved their school as we passed by it. I said, "I got a better idea. How about we go to the Tulsa State Fair? Let's just go to the fair today." "You're playing, Dad, aren't you? You're playing." "Really?" I said, "Yeah. Let's just go to the fair today." "What? It's okay. You haven't missed all year. Your grades are good. Let's go to the fair." And I just kept on driving to the highway, and we went to the fair. Went to the Tulsa Fair. There was nobody else already there because the school was going on, and we rode all the rides. We had to run to the place. It was a great day, great memory. And my kids will never forget the day their dad let them skip school and go to the fair. Now, school is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that school's you should blow off school. And all this, but once in a while, okay? Once in a great while, reward your kids and let them know, hey, let's just do something. Plan a day off and go somewhere. Do something. Don't let them know. Let them know that, hey, let's just have some fun today. Plan something out for them. Be spontaneous. Plan surprises. Number 5, plan surprises. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? Plan a surprise. But you got to put it on your calendar. If you don't make it, plan it, it's not going to happen. Fun doesn't just happen. You got to make it happen. Let's look at A here. A stands for attention. Healthy families give attention. Give attention to one another. Philippians 2 says this: "When you do good things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others." And listen, I can really fail at this sometimes. I can really stink at this sometimes. And as I was preparing this, I realized, you know what? Why do I fail sometimes at doing this? Why do I fail giving the full attention like I should? And as I thought about it, I've got an answer. You know what it is? I can be very selfish. I can be a very selfish person. I can be self-centered. You know what I'm talking about? When I come home and the kids are wanting my attention, and I'm more worried about other things that are going on. And my kids are trying to get me. And they're saying, "Dad, Dad, this, Dad, this, Dad, that." And I'm tuned out. I'm watching Sports Center, or I'm doing something else, or I'm reading something, you know, and I'm not even there. And finally, they'll come up, and Hayden or Hallie come up and grab my face, and they'll pull it to their face. "Dad, oh, you're trying to get my attention." When Landon was young, he'd always say, "Gene." He knew how to get my attention. He'd say, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And finally, he'd go, "Gene." I was like, "What? What'd you call me?" "Well, I couldn't get your attention. You wasn't listening to me." Preston called me pastor one time. I mean, it was just my kids will do what it takes to get my attention. And why is it? Because they want our attention. Wow. Our kids want our attention. Look what Philippians 2:5 says. "Although he was equal with God," this is talking about Christ, "he humbled himself and became like a servant." Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another, outdo one another in showing honor." That's attention right there. We are called to give our attention to our children. We are called to give our attention to our spouse. Let me say it again. We are called to give our attention to our children. We are called to give attention to our spouse. Let me give you some helps here, ideas. Find some time to unwind. Say, "Pastor, why is that important?" Because if you're like me, many times when you come home and walk through the door, I mean, your mind is on other things. I've been counseling people. I've got things going on. I've got deadlines. I've got paperwork. I'm thinking about things ahead next week. I'm thinking about Sunday. I've got so many things going on my mind that even though I'm home, I'm not really there. And so sometimes you got to take time and unwind. There's times that I realize that I'm getting this way, and I have to pull over somewhere, and I'll pull over. One of the things I like to do sometimes is maybe stop at Books A Million. You know why? Because I got all the free books you can read for free right there. You can go in, get you one of those little Joe's drinks, and you can sit down and read all the books you want for free. They don't charge you anything. Sometimes you can do that and just take 5-10 minutes out of my day and stop and just get something to drink and relax, my mind relax. So when I go home, then I'm there ready to give to my children. I'm there ready to give to my spouse. Now, Pastor, do you do a great job at this? No, I don't. I can be honest and tell you that I fail a lot of times with this. A lot of times my mind is going, and I have to really, really work at it. I have to really work at it, but it's something I do work at. And I realize when I'm getting that way, and I got to stop and refresh myself, find some time to unwind so when you go home, you can be there, which leads to point number two. If you're married to somebody like this, welcome them home. Look how I spelled home. Because you don't just welcome them home. My wife welcomes me home. Because many times she has to get my attention and says, hello, you are home now. This is your home. Get your mind and your heart and your body. You're here at home. So sometimes she has to remind me that I am home. I'm not in a counseling session. Or I'm not in a planning meeting somewhere. Or I'm not here on Sunday. She has to remind me where I'm at, that I am home. Add some O's and M's to remind your spouse that you're home now. Let's engage. So many times we come home and our mind's still on work and it's still on what we got to do tomorrow morning. And we never unwind and release that. And so therefore we had nothing to give to our family that night. Oh, we need to spend time with our children. We need to engage with them. We need to engage with our spouse. And we have nothing to give them because we're not, our body's home, but our mind's not. Help your spouse get to remind them we're at home. Let's do that. Number three, make it a rule to allow people in your life to finish their thoughts. This is such an important thing. Make a rule to allow people in your life to finish their thoughts. How many times do we cut off our children when they begin to tell us a story? Dad, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, that's good. Hey, you know. We go to something else. How many times is our spouse talking to us and we stop and interrupt them and go somewhere else with our thoughts? Listen, being a healthy family, you know what they do? They create a place where people can talk. And we don't cut them off, but we listen to what they're saying. You know what being a good counselor is? It's being a good listener. Do you realize that? A big part of being a good counselor is just being a good listener. I don't have to have the answers to everything. I have a lot of answers sometimes, but a lot of times I don't have the answer to everything. But you know, I can listen, and I can give a compassionate ear, and I can listen to my children with all that's going on in their day. Some of you wonder why your kids never talk to you. It's because you never listen when they do. Let me say it again. We wonder why our children never talk to us. It's because when they try to talk to us, we cut them off. We don't listen to them. We don't give them our full attention that we need to give them. Learn to value the words of your children. I talk to people and be like, Pastor, I don't know what's going on with my daughter. You know, she broke up with this boyfriend, but it's only puppy love. I'm like, snap out. Get out of it. Let's go. And I always tell the parent, you know what? Well, puppy love, it may be puppy love. You're right. It may be an immature puppy love. But how many know that love is real to a puppy? Puppy love is real to that puppy. And so we got to value what they're going through. Value what really is troubling them. Value that what happened on recess that day doesn't seem like a big deal. And you're like, get over it. No, value what they're saying. Listen to them. Because you know why? If you listen now, when they get to teenagers, they'll talk to you more. Our kids are young now, we got to learn to open up that avenue of saying, you can talk to your dad, your mom about anything, and I will listen, and I will value what you say. I listen to my spouse, and I value what they say. I'm concerned what they have to say. Listen, you got to give your kids attention. Let me tell you this. If you don't show your kids attention, somebody else will. If you don't give your kids attention they need, somebody else will. That's a powerful statement, but it's very true. Our kids will find attention somewhere. And I'm going to do my best to give them attention. If they're finding attention somewhere else, it's not because they're not getting it at home. I'm going to make sure that my kids and my spouse are getting the attention they need. M stands for memories. Healthy families capture memories. Remembering is a very spiritual concept. The Bible we're told to remember 160 times we're told to remember in the Bible. The Bible's constantly, remember, remember, remember these things. Deuteronomy 4 says this, be careful, never to forget what you've seen God do and doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect in your lives. Tell your children and your grandchildren about the glorious miracles that he did. It's a reminder to the things that God did in our life. When you remember them, caused you to act a certain way. Listen, we're called to remember and build memories, spiritual memories and memories of spiritual things. But also we're called to build memories of fun, relationship-building memories and things that happen in our life. Build memories with your kids and your family. And bring back those memories in your life. You know what? They say to us that, I've read this statement before and I've studied it, and I believe it's pretty true, that they say that close to 70% of our childhood memories have to do with vacation times. Do you realize that? Have to do with either small vacation times or long vacation times. And if you think about it, really think about going back. What are the childhood memories you have? Some of you are thinking right now, you remember those road trips you took, or maybe the amusement park you went to. You remember the camping trip you went on, the hunting trip you went on, the fishing trip that happened. You remember going to see a family out of town, to stay with a family member and do things and traveling. You remember those stories, and they always come back. First things that pop in your mind, and you think about some of the memories. That's from the first memories I have as being young, as traveling and doing things. I believe it's true. I believe that statement is true, that 70% of our memories circle around family vacations as a young child. Listen, we've got to build memories with our children and with our spouse. Take time to build memories. Let me give you some things to help you here, some ideas. Find reasons to celebrate. Look for reasons to celebrate. We celebrate a lot of things at our house. We celebrate getting hits in baseball. We celebrate hitting records, scoring points in basketball. We celebrate good reports on report cards. We celebrate being obedient many times. Man, you've been so good today. I reward them. We when they're doing well and they're being respectful. We celebrate when they clean their room up spotless. We do a lot of things. Find reasons to celebrate. And celebrate. Create memories with your children. I have one child who was struggling with a certain subject. And so their grade went from a C to a C+. And from a C+ to a B-. And from a B- to a B+. They're on track next quarter to get the A. In that one area. And we celebrate that every time. They make it, oh, great, you improved it. You improved it. You're doing so well. We celebrate. We go out and we do things. Listen, celebrate. Find reasons to celebrate with your kids. And if this is true, we also need to enlarge photos, man. This is practical. It's something real practical. Enlarge photos. Get some memories that are happy in your life and enlarge those photos and put them around where your kids can remember those things, those vacation photos, the things you did together. Enlarge your photos and hang them up where you can see them, remember those things. We went to the Magic Kingdom. We went to Disney World, not last summer, but summer before that. And we went there. And it was such a big thing because our kids had never been to Disney World. So we went there, took like 150 pictures. I came back. You know what I did? I put them all on a DVD and put some music to it and gave it to them. And today, they love to go in there and love to put that DVD in their room and watch it. All those pictures of that trip and then the music goes with it. We had those memories embedded in our life, and they'll never forget that trip to Disneyland. And so do things to help celebrate those memories. Number three, return to those memorable locations that you have. Return to those places that you had great memories. If you have a good time somewhere, remember those things. Say, you know what, let's go back there again. Let's go back there again. Next year we can do it again. One of the things we did in my family was that because we have a large family, we decided to do something different this last summer. So I took the boys, and I took them on a road trip, and the girls went on a road trip. They did their own thing, and the guys did their own thing. It was one of the funnest things we've ever done. And it was so fun because, you know why? Because the guys, we did guy things. Yeah. We went to the amusement parks. We went to the water parks. We went to the ball stadiums. We toured ball stadiums. I mean, we went through a tour of the ball stadiums and went with it, watched where they played professional baseball and walked through the stadium tours and football and seeing the players in the locker room and seeing all the things that were going on. And we're like, Dad, this is awesome. My boy's like, Dad, yeah, you rock. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're having fun. And I was thinking, if my wife is here, she wouldn't be liking this. My daughter's like, Dad, can we go to the mall? Please, can we go to the mall? Can we go and get out of here? Can we, you know, oh, they would win, and they may have liked it for about 5 minutes, but after 2 hours, they'd be like, can we please go on? But not the guys. We have fun. And we loved it so much that we said, we made a pact, me and the boys. Said, you know what? Every year, we're going to get together and take a trip somewhere. We're just going to do a boys' trip every year. And we made that pact. And so this spring break, we got together and said, all right, boys' time. We did our boys' thing. We took off on spring break, and the boys went and did their thing, and the girls went and did their thing. And it's created a memory, and we liked it. And so my boys now, they love it when the dad just goes and just time with them. And the girls love having that time separate when they can go and just be with, do the girl things. Find something. Now, we have a big family, so that works for us. If you have a small family, then you can all go do your own thing. It's all right. But when you have five kids, you got to be creative if you're going to have fun. Because, listen, when I take five kids on a road trip, it's not fun for me. I'll just be honest. It is not fun for me. It tires me out. I need a vacation for that vacation. And so we've been creative and figured out how can we do this and still have fun. And so I don't become short with the kids, and I can give them more one-on-one attention. And so we switch it up, and we do things like that. Find ways to make it memorable for your children. Let's go to the letter I here. I is for inspire. Healthy families inspire their children. 1 Thessalonians says this, so give encouragement to each other and keep strengthening one another. Healthy families verbally inspire. And let me say this to you. I know that some people here, you have a hard time with this. Some of you here, especially men, you can have a hard time verbally inspiring your children or your spouse, okay? Because it's not something that's always natural for us to do. But it's such an important thing that we verbally inspire, that we give words of encouragement to our spouse and to our children. Look what Matthew 12 says. A good man's speech reveals the rich treasure within him. And an evil-hearted man is filled with venom, and his speech reveals it. Basically, what Jesus was saying here is that the words that come out of our heart reveal who we are. And so if all we are doing is when we are vocal with our children is when we are saying, do this, do that. You didn't do this. Why can't you do this better? All they're hearing from our heart is that we are displeased with them. All they're hearing is they cannot do it right. All they're hearing is they cannot live to our expectations. And so we have got to learn to verbalize praise in our children, verbalize praise in our spouse, because we've got to build them up. You know why? Because they've studied this and found that it takes 15 positive statements to overcome one negative statement. How many remember when you went to school? How many of you can remember getting some positive statements about you from your peers at school? We can remember that. Think about how tough it is even today. Things are getting worse, okay, instead of getting better. So you think about the things your children are facing at school. When they come home, you got a lot of catching up to do. You got a lot of things you're doing. So I'm constantly looking to praise my kids because they are getting so much negative when they're not around me that I want to counteract that as much as possible. So I'm learning to give praise to my kids. I love, you know, if I'm going to the store, I try to take one kid with me so I can go. You know what I do? The whole time we're in the car, I am praising them. I am talking about what they're doing good. I'm talking about how proud I am of them. I tell them how much I love them, you know, to the point where they're like, oh, Dad. It's funny because I'll be like, Dad, shut up, you know. I hate to hear that. Then I look over in the window, I can see the reflection, and I can see them, they're smiling from ear to ear. They don't want me to see that. I know they're smiling ear to ear. Because they love their dad praising them. Learn to verbally inspire your children. Listen, we've got to learn to do this. Some of you here today say, well, Pastor, my family never did that when I was growing up, and I just can't do that. And I say, so what? What a great time to start over. What a great time to start some new tradition. What a great time to start a new thing in your family. Inspire. Let me give you some ideas. Catch people doing things that are right and let them know. Look for reasons to praise your children. Look for reasons to encourage them. Number two, weigh your words careful. Weigh your words careful. Mom, Dad, weigh your words careful. Our words have a lifelong effect on our children. I've met and I've worked with hundreds of teenagers over the years and people, and I talk to them, and I'll find out what's going on in their life, and I have guys who won't play when we go out to the park and won't play basketball, football, don't do anything. And later on, I talked to him and said, well, you know what? When I was a kid, my dad told me I threw like a girl. And so I just didn't want to throw again. I mean, for the rest of their life, they carry that around. You think you're just playing around, but you never know what you're saying could affect them. I've had people who Pastor, I like to sing in church. And why? We love to sing. Well, when I was a kid, someone told me I couldn't sing very good, so I just don't sing. They carry it around for a lifetime. You never know what words you're saying will affect your children for a lifetime. Learn to inspire them. Learn to encourage them. Encourage your children in front of other people. Man. Proverbs 12 says, caress words. Careless words stab like a sword. Careless words stab like a sword. Be careful how you throw your words around to your children. Be careful what you say. You ever met someone that says, you know, you got your young child behind you, and you meet somebody for the first time, you say, hey, this is so-and-so. This is my son, or this is my daughter. They're shy, and they're hiding behind your leg going, of course they're shy, because you told them they were shy, and you just affirmed what they were to the other person. And so I've got a kid who tends to be shy. And so when an adult addresses him, I pull him out from behind my leg and say, let's say hi. And I walk him through the process, and we don't move until he addresses them. And I say, he's a great son, and I brag on him because I'm trying to teach him not to be shy. And so I'm learning to teach him to address the adults, to address people when they talk to him. Not going to sit behind my leg and say, he's just shy. You know what he'd do? He'd go the rest of his life being shy. Not wanting to talk to people. So I'm not going to verbally reinforce that. I'm going to counteract that by helping him. Choose your words careful. Encourage your children. I love to encourage my children in front of other people. When I'm around other people, when I'm around teachers, I brag on my kids that are doing well in school. When I'm around people who like sports, I brag on my kids that are doing well in sports. When I'm around grandparents, I talk about things they're doing. I like to encourage my kids for things they do. Encourage them not only at home, but I encourage them in front of other people. That makes them feel well when mom and dad brag on them to their friends in front of their friends. I read a story, and it'll change the way you think, of a little girl who grew up on a farm. And she didn't come from a very stable home. Matter of fact, she came from a home of a lot of abuse. But they had a milkman that came to their house every day. And she was enamored with this milkman because he would deliver the milk and he would stack the bottles up. And she watched him every day. She thought it was so cool this milkman would come to her house every day. And every day before he left, he would say, how's my little Miss America today? And he'd pat her on the head and smile at her. And she got to where that was the only affirmation she was getting. And she loved it so much, she would not miss a day without being there. She made sure she was up when the milkman was there just so he could look at her and say, how's my little Miss America today? Well, as she grew up, she got older in high school, she began to enter local teen pageants, and she began to win. And, of course, in 1980, she won Miss America. And when she gave her acceptance speech, she thanked the milkman. You never know what words will affect the people in your life. Teachers, you never know the kids in your classroom that you'll have an eternal effect on the words in your life. Let's speak positive words. Quickly, let me give these to you as we close today. L is for love. Healthy families love without condition. Listen, don't let your love be conditional. Parents, moms, dads, let's don't let our love be conditional. Don't let our kids say, we love you when you do this. I love you because of this. I love you this. But when you don't meet my expectations, I don't love you. We may not say that with our mouth, but we say it with our actions. Be careful to love unconditional. How does Christ love us? How does Christ love us? Unconditional. We got to learn to show that unconditional love to my children, to my spouse, showing that I love them. John 13 says, love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. Healthy families love unconditional. It's two parts of this. Love with your words. Say, I love you. I can't tell you enough. Dads, let me tell you again. Moms, let me tell you again. Say, I love you. When I was growing up, no one ever said it to me. It's okay. Say, I love you. Dad, your daughter needs to hear you say, I love you. If she doesn't hear it from you, she'll be listening for some other man to say, I love you. And she'll respond to him in a very unhealthy way because she is looking from the love of a father. She's looking for a love from a man. And so you got to display that to your children. Tell them you love them. You can't tell them enough. Tell your kids. And don't just say it with your words. Number two, do it with your actions. Love with your actions. Don't tell your kids you love them. You love them. Oh, I love you. You're the most important thing in my life. and then never schedule time with him. Okay? Follow through with your actions. I love you, and I'm going to follow through with my actions. I'm going to do things with you. I'm going to spend time with you. We're going to have fun together. We're going to build memories together. I do it with my actions, not just with my words. And the last thing is wise. We yield to God. Healthy families yield to God. We learn to surrender everything we are to God. Deuteronomy says this, love the Lord to God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. Always remember these commands I give you. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. It's a parent's job. Listen, it's a parent's job to yield to God and teach your children what it means to yield to God. You can't bring them to church once or twice a week and say, all right, learn about God. As pastors, as teachers, as spiritual educators, it is our job to reinforce what you are doing at home. It's our job to reinforce what you are doing at home. But at home, you should be yielding to God. They should see you yielding to God, your family yielding to God. You modeling that, Dad. You modeling that, Mom. Letting them see that we yield our life to God and that our family is going to put God first. Our family is going to be faithful in church. Our family is going to pray together. Our family is going to play together. Our family is going to seek God for things that are going on in our life. Our family is going to take time to pray for each other. Choose it. I'm going to close this scripture which says this. You must choose for yourself this day. Look at that word choice. Choose. Choose. You must decide who you will serve. You may serve the gods that your people worship, or you may serve the gods of the Amorites. But I like what Joshua says here. I'm going to make this a prayer for my family. And this is a vision statement. This is my destiny for my family. This is what we say right here. But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads today. As your head's bowed today, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. I was very honest this morning when I said that change doesn't just take place just on Sunday, but it's what happens on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. That we got to change, and it starts at home. It starts with our spouse. It starts with our children. It starts in our relationships, those closest to us. Learning to change. Well, I can say I'm changed. I can testify what God's done in my life, but if my actions are still the same, have I really changed? Am I just talking a good game, or am I living it out? Because when God changes you, everything about you begins to change. You want to do things different. Some of you here today say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize, ma'am, as my kids are getting older, I've blown it. Man, I've blown it. I feel like, what's the use, Pastor? My kids are almost out of high school now. They're already out of high school. It's too late for me. And I say, no, it's not. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for you at all. You can't change your past, but you can only change your future. You can only change the destiny of today. So today, if you're here and you feel like giving up and say, Pastor, that's been me, man. I feel like I've wasted. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, my kids are young and I'm so worried about making a good living for them. I'm so worried about other things that are going on that I just realize I'm not spending the time I need to develop my family or my spouse. If God's speaking to you today, can you just be obedient to God and say, that's me, God. I admit that's me. Yeah, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. I got to admit, I'm falling short here. I need God to help me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. It starts with admitting it. It starts with admitting that, hey, I'm just not cutting it. I'm going to invite you all to stand with me today. I'm going to close out in prayer. And as I do, I'm going to pray that God would give us families who are yielded to Him. Because I guarantee you this, if you will yield yourself to the Lord, if you yield yourself to the Lord, that you're going to want to change things in your life. As you yield your heart to God in new ways, you're going to be quick and you're going to say, you know what? I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better wife. God's going to talk to you. He's going to quicken your spirit to change some things in your life. Father, right now, I pray for every person in this room, especially for those who raised their hands today. I said, Father, they were falling short in some of these areas. And God, today, we're praying that you change us. Spiritually, we're praying that you change us. And God, may that spiritual change overflow into the actions of our everyday walk with you. I pray that our families would learn what it means to yield to you. Our families will learn what it means to have fun together and to build memories together, to inspire each other, to encourage each other, and to yield to you. That our families would grow up and be families that people look at and say, I want to be a part of that family because God is the center of that. There's a joy in that home. There's a peace in that home that only God can give. I pray for the people who raised their hands today that they were honest and said they just are falling short. I pray to Father, we repent, ask you to forgive us, God, for not being the spouse or the parent you called us to be. Ask you to forgive us, Lord. Help us not to dwell on past mistakes, but God, now help us, Lord, to be a better grandfather than we were a father. Help us to be a better grandmother than we were a mother. Help us to be a better father, a better spouse, a better wife. Help us to look to today to be a day of change. This week, I'm going to learn to plan times with my spouse. This week, I'm going to learn to put back some spontaneity in our lives, some fun. And the joy of serving you will be alive in our home again. God, forgive us for allowing busy schedules to come in. Busy schedules to come in and stop us from enjoying life that you have destined for us to enjoy. Father, you have come to give us life to the fullest. To walk in your joy. We receive it today. In Jesus' name we say, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Hug a neck on the way out. Shake a hand. Bring somebody with you next week. God bless you.